also that we want to give opportunity for prayer for one another. So let's be aware of that, and let's be active when the time comes. Don't be reticent. I find that frequently the question that somebody has that they feel embarrassed to ask is the one that probably six or seven other people would like to ask and hear the answer to. So please don't be afraid to ask a question that will clarify something for you. We don't want it to be a time of dissension or disagreement. We don't just to bring up our disagreements, but if they're genuine questions, then we'd, I think, all benefit by hearing those and also praying for one another. I think one of the things that happens at times like these is that we can move out in prayer for one another. I know that at the Charismatic Leaders Conference, one of the highlights in the last 3 years has been the way that we've been able to pray for one another, to see men who you would imagine are very secure in their ministries, and God is blessing in a tremendous way, just break down and weep as others have put their arms around them and prayed for them. And you just don't realize how often these apparently secure people are feeling the need of prayer and love themselves. I suppose we're all good at putting on a brave face at times when we're in need. So let's move out to one another. And your word of encouragement may just be the thing that will move someone into a new dimension of faith in what they're doing. That's why I appreciate Phil. So often he stands and has a look around the room and is consciously asking God whether he has anything. And I think we all give it in the sense that it needs to be judged. When we prophesy to one another, we accept the fact that it needs to be judged. That means that it can be wrong. That's why the scripture says judge it. And therefore we're not giving it, saying that this is an infallible, unshakable truth, but we're giving it into the potpourri of other things that God is saying to that particular person, and trust that it will help them and illuminate their situation. So let's move out to encourage one another. I feel privileged to be able to have the opportunity just to make one or two points at the close of this time, because I should think most of us have been stirred and would all like to have the opportunity to make a few points. I hope that what I have to say is relevant to the whole and not just getting on my own hobby horse. But I've been absolutely blessed. I've been ministering some of these things for the last months quite intensively, and I haven't been thrilled at the response. I mean, people haven't been actually standing up and cheering and leaping and dancing. And at the end of it, you still believe what you've been saying. But when somebody else says it as well, you know, it doesn't half bless you, and you sort of end up believing that what you're saying is true after all. You know what I mean? So I feel really encouraged this morning. I'm not a theologian, as I explained yesterday, for very obvious reasons. But I have picked up one or two things from people that are theologians. One thing that I picked up was the first mention. When Scripture mentions something for the first time, it has a particular priority. Now, I accept that. I haven't particularly proved it, but I accept it, and I found it to be very useful, because when we come to look at the question of the church in the New Testament, we find that the first mentions are absolutely fundamental and foundational to what the church is. And Jesus only, as I understand it, spoke about church on two occasions in the New Testament, and therefore they should be very relevant to what our understanding of church is. He didn't talk on that occasion about deacons or elders or wives submitting to their husbands or all of the other things that we would perhaps major on at times. But he spoke, as far as I'm concerned, about the essential ingredients of church and what church actually is. For many of us, we were probably stretched when Watchman Nee began to challenge our understanding of church and began to talk to us about the church in a town. And I remember it being quite an issue some years ago when that book, The Normal Christian Church Life, was... I don't know whether it was banned from Christian bookshops, but you couldn't get it anywhere. We had to import it if we wanted to read it. And, of course, in the front of that book it says that you cannot copy what's in here and reproduce it as a kind of pattern. You've got to be able to hear from God for yourselves. But, of course, people who did read the book didn't take any notice, and they did try to copy a pattern. I praise the Lord for that book, because when I read it, it kind of set me free to look at things in a new way and do things in a new way. But at the same time, I feel that Watchman Nee was drawing a kind of line which took us on a stage, but left us with something which was less than where God wanted us to go. And I think the emphasis at that time was very much on the local church, the church in a town, and the work being something slightly different. I think God wants us to really get hold of what has been said to us this weekend, that the church has certain essential ingredients, which means that it can function anywhere, at any time, amongst any group of people that God has called together. I think if we can get hold of that fact, then we'll stop knocking one another. When Neil was talking about church and parachurch, I was basically agreeing with everything he was saying, except that we can interpret parachurch one way and church another way, or we can reverse it. Doesn't really matter. What we're saying, the heart of what we're saying, is basically the same thing. And I feel when I look at what we call church, probably 70 or 80% of it is not church at all. And here are people in church knocking parachurch, and probably 70% of what is parachurch really is church. Do you understand what I mean? And I think we've really got to get ourselves clear on this issue. Matthew 16, as far as I'm concerned, indicates three or four things. That the essential ingredients of church are revelation, given by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the foundation, and that he is delegating to certain men. And I believe it is going to be very important. One observation I've made in what God is doing is that there are men that he is building into the foundations of local situations and of apostolic teams. Those men are not to become an entity in themselves. The thing I understand about foundations is that when you show somebody around your house, you don't show them the foundations. And when you bring somebody to your church, you don't say, oh, this is our apostle. Basically, you show them the joy, the love, and so on, and the tremendous structure that there is. And maybe, if they're wise, they'll say, how did all this come into being? And they're hidden underneath somewhere. Are those who are responsible for this building. They are the foundation stones. And you don't look at foundation stones. You look at the building. And so Jesus did build on men. And whilst he established his foundation in the life of Peter, he did give Peter and those other apostles keys. And I believe he's still giving men keys today. And I find that there are those who are grasping apostolic authority, and there are those to whom God is giving it. Now we need to see clearly where that authority is, because those men will be concerned about bringing the body to maturity to do the work of the ministry, which is what we've been hearing this morning. They will not be interested in promoting their own ends or building their own kingdoms. And finally, in that passage of scripture, Jesus gave power to the men. He gave the keys, and he said, that which you bind shall be bound, and that which you loose shall be loose. And that's, I believe, where the signs and the wonders come in. The second passage, Matthew 18, speaks of two things. In other words, the Lord seems to be saying you need a little bit of practical input into what church is all about. And there he speaks to us about relationships and being joined together. And he tells us that proper discipline is absolutely foundational to church, wherever we are. And if we're here for 3 days, one hopes that if there is need for discipline, we would respond to that discipline in the same way that we would respond in our local church, or in our team, or whatever. And so, fundamental to church is relationships and being gathered. I think Ezekiel's vision of the bones being joined together is a very thrilling one. And we were all excited when we suddenly became aware that we were bones of one body. And we all embraced one another, but we all got locked up, and heads were joined to feet, and thoraxes, or whatever. What are these bits up here? The rib cage. There's a name for it, though, isn't there? The bit that contains everything gets joined to something else, and we look a grotesque mess. And I left out that whole period of rattling, where we actually find where we are joined. And there are joints in the body of Christ, and it's through the joints that the whole body is edified. And we need to find out where we join. And for me, that passage of scripture suddenly sort of bursts into light, that where two or three are gathered together into my name, there am I in the midst of them. And for me, the simplest expression of church is two or three people that have been joined. The visible expression of church, two or three people who have been joined together in Jesus' name. And that we may get split apart and pushed all over the world from that position. But that joining is permanent, and those joints are permanent. And I think that is what is beginning to happen. There are relationships which are permanent, and we find that God has suddenly joined us. And that enables other parts of the body to come together, because they come together through the joints, and the whole body is edified and built up by love, which runs through the veins and the arteries and so on. And so I feel those are the two key things in Matthew 18, relationships and joining. And we need to know where our joints are in Christ Jesus. In my early days as a Christian, we used to use that scripture as an excuse for a small prayer meeting. And I think that it's denigrated the thing. You know, if only two or three people turned up, we all patted ourselves on the back and we said, well, never mind, where two or three are gathered in his name, there is he in the midst of them. Rubbish. Because very often those people were the reason why nobody else wanted to.
Praise the Lord.
The two witnesses, character and gift. I mean, I suppose it could be a thousand and one other things, but to me, the two key things that need to come together in those gathered people are character and gift. And tragically, they seem to oppose one another. As we look at church history, we see that again and again, men of character have somehow felt small is beautiful, and men of gift have felt, well, never mind the quality, feel the width, so they, and they've gone for broke and for big. Samson is probably the best type of that. But praise God, if Samson is a type of the church, there was a point in his life where both of these things came together at the same time. And as far as I'm concerned, the two witnesses is the church coming to maturity and all the character of Jesus, which in itself will not turn the world upside down. The moral character of Jesus will be lauded and applauded, perhaps, but it isn't going to change the world. It's the gift and the power of Jesus manifested that made people realize he was a supernatural God. At the end of the day, they would have said he was a good man if they hadn't seen the supernatural power, the creative power of God at work in Jesus. And I can sympathize with the men of gift who get so frustrated with those who are always purifying the church and upbuilding it, and nothing ever happens. And so off they go to do their own thing. And tragically, I suppose America and the UK, you know, I'm not drawing black and white lines, but in the main, have been concerned, the one about gift and the other one about character. And somehow these two witnesses have got to come together in one body at one time, so that all the power of Jesus and all the character of Jesus are seen together. And that's the body that is going to give that final thrust and that final witness. Just one or two comments before I sit down and we throw the thing open. I feel when we are gathering a momentum such as we are in this, it is very important that we don't cut ourselves off from the good roots that God has given to us. When some of us saw relationships and we saw the weaknesses in the church, I can remember men denigrating the church to such a degree that they were throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And for some people, mission was lost. The roots were cut out of their life. And today, when God is speaking mission clearly, as he has not done for some time, that clearly at any rate, when the word is coming through clear, those people cannot respond. They are unable to respond. And I would say that our stream in particular has got a considerable number of people who are no longer here to hear what God is saying, because they purged a root right out of their system. Now, I do think there are times and seasons in what God is doing, and there needs to be an emphasis, perhaps, on relationships. And we look at the church and we see the hypocrisy, we come back to a measure of reality. But if we lose the root that God has placed in our life, now here we are speaking about mission. We've gone full circle again. And I'm really, really thrilled about that. I am tremendously thrilled. But what I want to say is, don't let us throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's look at those that have gone overboard into relationships and have lost the root of mission, and therefore throw out relationships. Because if we end up with a church that is only concerned about mission, we're going to end up with a church that expands into weakness and ultimately dies. We have got to give concern to the pastoral needs. And I think the great key about the church is that there isn't a one-man ministry where if the minister happens to be evangelistic, everybody's evangelistic, or if he happens to be pastoral, everybody's pastoral, or whatever. But there needs to be this tremendous diversity within the body of Christ that enables us to carry all these things through into the next phase that he's doing. I'd also like to make mention of women. It has been mentioned, but I do believe God is speaking specifically about women. And I think some of us, I was going to say get our knickers in a twist, but probably that's not an appropriate thing to say. And if the tape's on, will you turn it off, please? what we try to do is project the argument into the ultimate, which ultimately it has to be. We've got to get the ultimates and the extremes sorted out at some point, but we don't start there. What we have to start with is where we are. And my belief is that God has not created anyone on this earth with gifts and abilities that he says have got to go into cold storage until the fullness of the kingdom comes. God has gifted us for work and service here. And all I'm saying is that every individual that comes into the Church of Jesus Christ has to be set free to work to their full capacity and the giftings that God has given to them. And I think if we start there, and we see that at the rock bottom, whether we're men or whether we're women, it's all to do with an attitude of heart. Then we can begin to move forward and release people. People who have a right attitude. And it's no good saying, oh well, women have got to have a right attitude if they're being released in ministry, which is true. Unless you're also prepared to say that about your men's home. I mean, just because a man's a man doesn't mean to say he can minister with the wrong attitude, does it? So we've got to get our attitudes right. And humility and love and respect are all part of that. Making disciples, what does it mean? It means teaching people to be the church. That's really what it means. And it means teaching them to help Jesus bring his church about here on the earth. And I'm sure we're all tremendously relieved that Jesus said, I will build my church. But he has called us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in that work. And as far as I can see, all that we can do is find out what God is doing and do it with him. Recognize what he's doing. And as I've moved around in some fairly intensive situations, even recently, the tremendous relief that I've had to be able to step back from the complicated problems that have presented themselves and say, Jesus, what are you doing here? And if I don't see him doing anything, then there's nothing that I can do. But if I see him doing one small thing, we were in a group recently which was sort of falling apart at the seams and was in a desperate situation. And all that I could say was that I could see one couple who were a mum and dad. And the Lord said, just recognize them as mum and dad. That's as far as you can go. And I believe that that is the beginnings of something in that group that is going to enable all the other complicated problems to be sorted out. I will build my church. Finally, if I could just make a comment about the apostolic and prophetic ministry and recommend a tape which you can acquire from Team Spirit Services. Dave Matthews recently spoke on the subject of apostles and prophets. And I do believe it's a very significant word. The essence of what he said was that no apostle should be permanently located in one place. That doesn't mean to say they can't live in one place, but they should not be permanently located in one place. And the second thing which may surprise you is that no prophet should be permanently on the move. Now what he's saying there is that as he sees it, and he's got scriptural evidence to show, that prophets should be a part of the local government of a church. As soon as a church begins to become efficient, the administrators take over the government because they say, oh, well, now we've got something, we can get it moving and working. At that point, the prophet has no place. Now, if we call an apostle, and we don't see that basically an apostle is a prophet who has been sent. So the church is built on the foundation of prophets and apostles, prophets being local men in government, apostles being extra local men in government, then we end up with an early church situation where the local prophets are put out because they're prophetic, emotional types and they shouldn't be in the government. And the apostolic prophets are put down because they're itinerants and they shouldn't really. The church has got to be autonomous and the local elders have got to take over. And in the end, what you do is administrate the prophetic out of the thing. And what we're saying is that apostles
are nothing if they are not prophets. Do you understand what I'm saying? An apostle has no meaning other than being sent. He has to be sent with something. And if he is to be first in a sense, and whatever we mean by that, we're not talking about some hierarchical system, but if there has to be some respect for him, then he must have some knowledge of the prophet, and he must be able to give the prophet some direction. So what we're saying is that the prophet's essentially a part of the local government, and the apostles are part of the extra local government, and that both are very, very needful, true apostles and true prophets. I'm not talking about self-appointed or men that are grasping position, but they are going to be necessary in order that the whole body comes together in unity and develops and grows to that kind of maturity. We are at a point where many churches are becoming successful. Let's pray that the administrators, which are very, very necessary to this next phase of things, do not become the apostles of tomorrow. Let us keep that prophetic element in the church, which I believe was coming through Roger this morning and has come through much of what we've been hearing about. Never let us come to the point where those who are logical, administrative, just juggle a thing and move those men out of the way because they're going to spoil the administrative setup. I think that's very important. I wish I could do more justice to what Dave said, but if you are interested, then we can get the tape to you. As far as the future of our gathering is concerned, I imagine a number of us feel that it should be going into two directions, basically. There are two types of people here. There are those that are seeking, and there are those that are leading. That was the way you didn't quite put it that way. Professionals and the seekers. I understand what you mean, Ross, and I believe you're right. That there are those of us that need the stimulation of being together so that we can take that input back into the situations where we are. But there are those who really need the opportunity to come together to seek God and to hear God. And that group needs to grow. So we're going to talk about the possibility of doing two. One which provides the opportunity for people who really want to seek what God wants them to do and come together to hear those that we feel would be good to hear, but also a forum where leaders can get together. Now, we're not quite sure, or we need some understanding as to whether there should be some kind of steering committee to ensure that that forum gets the broadest possible thing, exposure. The problem is, if someone like Norman does it, and Ross said that if I do it, then my emphasis is going to take preeminence, even though my heart is towards everybody. And it's interesting that because Norman has arranged this conference, even though it was intended to be a broad one, there's more involvement in Ghana than anything else here, which is quite natural. But we don't want it to go that way. We want it to be really across the board. And so we need to prayerfully ask God how we can bring the right mix of men together to promote that, probably just a day, every 6 months or every year, where we come together and have a brainstorm and prayer and really seek God as to the future of things and how we should be moving in relationship one to another. So basically, that's my comment. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll throw it open for questions, comments, and for prayer for one another. And if you'd be ready with your guitar at appropriate times, John, it would be good for us to worship into that and pray. Jesus, we thank you for the confirmation of your word through the mouths of two or three witnesses. Lord, we thank you that you are not moving in men and women in these days, giving them unique individual visions, but you are moving in the mind of Christ, which is only to be found completely in the body of Christ, and that there is a response from so many corners of the earth as to what you are doing and what you are saying. Lord, this gives us a sense of security, and we pray that we will more and more be willing to test out what the Spirit is saying, certainly in dialogue and sometimes even heated dialogue, Lord Jesus, but nevertheless to really test what the Spirit is saying to the churches in these days. And we just ask that as we go forth from here, you will give us great wisdom as to what we should be doing and how we should be doing it, and that you will help us all to lay aside a certain amount of our time as priority time for relationships out of what we're doing. Because, Lord, we don't want to produce hybrids. We don't want to produce beautiful beasts with peculiar noses or tails or fancy breasts, but we want to produce the animal that you want, Lord Jesus, that will get the job done. And so save us, Lord, from any of that. Let the cross-fertilization be complete, and let the diversity and the unity be manifest in the one body in the way that we're able to cope with one another. So pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Continue, we should say, to pour out your Spirit upon us and guide us and lead us in the days that are to come. Bless our time of sharing now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. I'll step back and if folks have comments or things. If not, then we will certainly move into a time of prayer. Any questions or... I'm embarrassed. I used to be in the Sally Ann, actually, and every week we used to have this sort of testimony time, and there was always a sort of embarrassed silence.
Well, stop it. It's kind of very simple, then it's going to get better.
Right.
Norman was asking where we go from here. He just asked the same thing. 2 months ago, I was at Carpenter, which was very different to this. That was right, Tom. And I think it's been a terrific conference, the breadth and the depth of what we've heard. And I don't know how it came together, Norman, but whatever it was, do that sort of thing again. I don't want to repeat it, but, you know, praise God, I think it's been really valuable in terms of stretching us and also calling us out. And I'm very grateful for it.
Amen.
And practical as well.
Right.
But it's just a high time. It's something you can take back and get hold of and see what God is saying.
Right.
It's inspirational. Well,
if you do, sorry, had you finished?
Yeah.
I was saying, if you do have comments as to how you feel, particularly the leadership conference should be run, you know, Colin and Neil and others, we would really appreciate, because I think at this formative stage that is going to be important. So if you don't give it to us before you go and you get it afterwards, do write it in, even if it's just a scribble on a bit of paper. You know, it will help us to think through and get the next step in that direction.
If I can just continue on that.
Yeah.
I came as someone who was not really sure why I was coming, but wanted just to have my sights lifted. And if you like, as the main leader of the fellowship sitting here, has certainly done that. And I know that our fellowship is different because of that, because I shall regurgitate some of this into the fellowship, and I can see that there's a very clear message from the Lord to lift our sights higher and to be involved in a wider breadth of things. So I would just speak out and say, yes, I would value something, not as it were for myself, but perhaps some of the other guys as well, just so that we continually are stopped from becoming insular, or even in our case, one nation orientated, you know, one communist nation rather than the world.
Yes.
And I think this has been really superb, and I would back anything that's done in the future.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
I think it's really vital for, me leading the fellowship for Dan Brian, to really carry on sort of being in touch with the formation. There's a new sort of, thinking going on with this. And, I personally feel I need to keep in touch and know how the thinking is going.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd appreciate that.
Great. One thing that Neil has been mentioning to us as well is this resource centre that we definitely want to take up. And when I hear what is available in that, you know, I'm sort of thinking, well, even if we need some kind of to invest in some kind of computer at our sort of team centre where we can plug in the information that he's got and pass it on to individuals that are going to get involved in countries. Very important. You know, I think that there's a real balance in faith and being willing to go as Norman did the first time he went to Ghana with his sort of P.O. box number and his air ticket. And out of that has come a tremendous relationship. I think that's very important. We don't lose that. But at the same time, there's a lot of foolhardiness that goes on, isn't there? And people could have information which would genuinely help them. And I think there's a real balance in that. So I appreciate it. I don't know whether you want to say anything about that.
No, I don't think so. except no. what I've suggested to you is the best way to work.
Yeah. I think if one or two of us in our sort of teams have got plugged into that, we're going to go and have a look at it, then that can be filtered through without just indiscriminately putting people in touch all the time to them, which will probably give them a lot of work.
John, I may have to step up for other reasons. I'd like to suggest, rather endorse the suggestion that we embrace the two ways
right.
or a way forward.
Yeah.
The idea of the leaders together. When we first started to think along this line a couple of years ago, actually 2 years ago, the three things that were uppermost in our thinking was we should build stronger relationships between the new churches, as Roger began to call us now, and the old established missions, so that we could remove the bashing each other on the head and not really understanding what each other was doing, the suspicions and all of that. I think that is still, even looking around this room, a very, very necessary thing. We haven't achieved that yet.
No,
that's right. And therefore, I think that because of that, we need to pursue that thing with the leadership. Secondly, we thought of cooperating. Why should the house churches now try to do what the missions already are doing? How we could draw from each other's strengths and also learn from each other. I think that is still a process we haven't got fully off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some areas of cooperation, and then we found that the new churches, various streams that are probably represented here, we were all attempting to do little things like Supplyline, like links and others. And we weren't even getting our act together there. We were in some cases overlapping. So because of these three things, which still, in my mind, exist, I would support the whole thing of our leaders get together.
Right.
Which is representative of these two things, the new churches as well as the old mission. I think we still need to do a whole lot of talking and understanding and envisioning one another in these areas. I would therefore suggest that we ask you rather than us trying to elect. I don't know about being unfair to you, John. But if we could ask you, is it Norman does it? As
it's
if Supplyline tried to do it, if Neil tried to do it, obviously people are going to make connections as well as either links or Supplyline or we're trying to sell their goods. But somebody like you's got an image of being Mr. Blessington.
Just carefully, what?
I think that the way to go is to ask you, John, to use your good influence in the right areas to draw a representative group from both sides together. And out of that grouping, the other thing could come. So that we are getting, if we want people from our churches to be exposed to missions, it's going to grow bigger than this. And out of that meeting, the other thing could be birthed.
Right.
I'm basically suggesting.
Obviously, didn't pray hard enough last night because I was saying to them, we really do need to find someone to kind of chair. I'm not sure I should be the person to do it. I appreciate what you're saying, but I represent the new churches, and I don't think we should be totally tied into that.
Yeah.
I mean, how we do it, I think maybe it needs two or three people.
Mm.
You know, whether someone like Colin, myself, Neil, and, you know, Ross or something, I don't know.
I'm not suggesting a chair at the moment. What I'm suggesting is an initiator.
Right.
And I think you've got sufficient credibility among the new churches as well as the old mission, well, Orthodox missions, that people wouldn't think you were trying to
to do something for yourself.
Okay,
but
we hear that.
I'm
okay.
Not opposed, John, to Neil and you.
No.
And Colin working
right.
Because I've got enough confidence that Neil carry an understanding of what we're about in churches.
Right.
So, all I'm saying is we need not to just leave it in a vacuum.
No.
Or leave it to Norman or me or one or two brothers to struggle along
no.
with this thing.
I totally agree with that. I think we've heard what you're saying. What I would ask is that we all really do seek the Lord. If there is someone that we feel would be suitable for that job, and I'm really not looking for a job, you know, if there's, I racked my brain. The problem is that there hasn't been anyone involved, apart from people who are involved either in a specific work here. You know, there isn't a, what shall I say, sort of kind of Michael Harper figure or somebody, you know, that type of person. So we are stuck at the moment with what we've got unless God reveals to us. So we do need to pray over that, and we will hear what you said. And certainly I think if nobody else was going to take that up, we would definitely want to move forward in some direction like that.
Permit me one other comment, John. We need to lift
the profile.
Yes.
I think
certainly. One of the two things that have emerged is the value of a group of men and women who could sit down with, like, the paper that Neil presented and really do it justice. So they were talking about the issues that matter, which obviously it was not able to do in this kind of setting, which in one sense was a shame, but I feel somehow we laid a bit of a foundation for that. And obviously with the things like Roger was saying this morning, with the difficulties he's having with one or two situations, there are obviously areas which have to be talked through and ramifications as a result of what God is doing at the moment, which has to go through at a leadership level, otherwise we're not at it. Because what I'm feeling is there is a groundswell that is coming underneath of people who are looking beyond their own backyard, who want to see their involvement in something wider than at the present they're involved in. And if we're not careful, that will grow, and I believe it has the potential of growing very quickly, of really mushrooming, and we'll finish up with yet another situation where we've got congregations pushing leaders and so on, trying to get out there and do it, and we'll finish up with polarization and problems. So we really do need to give ourselves to asking the Lord for wisdom as to how we handle that. Because we don't want to keep on sitting on all the people. That's what we've been doing for years. You want to get out there. Equally, we do need to be touching leaders to release those situations and to get behind it. And it's walking in hand and we're going to do. So do pray about it and for us and so on, that we may really know the wisdom of the Lord. Because I feel it is very strategic. That's why I think we really are at a crossroads. At the moment, and we've had to walk this way and bring up this sort of mixture to find out a little bit of where we're at in the whole thing. But I'm thrilled that this is now coming through and that we can go forward. Because in the end, it isn't our own vested interest, it's the kingdom of God. We want to go for that.
We've got two or three people here. Just quickly. Are you on the same subject? Because you were first.
Well, basically. You were talking about being plugged into the information network. I think we need to be plugged into another network as well, because by and large, probably most people here represent one stream within the new churches, although some of us don't, and those of us don't are here because of friendships with either you or Norman. But those people are plugged into a network of friendships, and I think we've got to get across even
absolutely.
The new church towers and the secular. I endorse the direction you're seeking to go. But the leadership level, I think we've got to come a point where you bring in some of the nationals to dialogue with us.
Yep.
I don't think you can walk out of this.
No, I agree with you. Can you make a note of that, just so we don't...
It's the light,
good.
If you make a note of that.
Yeah, sorry, can I go round the sequence?
Just coming back on Philip, I agree with what Philip says, particularly having worked simultaneously at one point for a traditional missionary study and pastoring a house church and seeing... from that, the tremendous dilemmas that there are there. But one thing I feel is that, I don't see the answer to this, but I see there is a problem, that from what Roger was saying, this morning, we have a tremendous need to move on that kind of thing. And that momentum will actually be made much more difficult by simultaneously trying to work with classic missionary societies. So both are valid, but actually to some extent both are working against each other. And I think rather than sort of plough in immediately and front the whole thing on a bilateral level, I think you've almost got to do two things at the same time. You've got to see the new churches and what God is saying in terms of mission, not limited by those relationships, as the Holy Spirit leads, and yet simultaneously from that position of strength, working into relationships with the traditional mission established. I think that balance actually is going to be very, very difficult. It almost might be in two different groups working on.
Right. Have you got a note of that? In reply to that, I think that you're right. I think coming back to my thing about the church, that what we need to be doing is looking to see, rather than trying to get a big group of people together, which covers everything, to say who is God joining us to? Where are their sympathies? Where is their understanding? And get that grouping together, which hopefully will be representative of all that, but not necessarily one from everything.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. And I think there are people here who have expressed their sympathy and who one feels the beginning of a joining in heart. And therefore, one would want to take certainly another step with those people and maybe others that they would want to bring in or something like that. So I think that would be the kind of direction that we would go in. I had another point to make, but never mind. Yeah.
Could I make a comment, John, and express a concern? Listening to Roger this morning, and I did make a note, I hope I'm saying what he said accurately, but he mentioned the fact that in his experience, a number of traditional missions have really closed in the last few months on any expression of, I think he used three terms, charismatic, signs and wonders, and something else.
Being of a kind.
Spiritual warfare. And really, I think that's tragic. But I would ask for some understanding from this side, prayer, really, that many are in a cleft stick. I remember only, I think, a year, year and a half ago at an Evangelical Missionary Alliance meeting, when an issue came up, quite separately, but about mission boards. And we in WEC were the only one out of all the missions presented that didn't have a mission board. Now, praise the Lord that Pat can say she's got a board who are fully sympathetic. But many have been landed, really, with boards that are appointed and have continued without any say from the membership, really to do with status and all the rest of it. And equally, a number of missions are international, and the power isn't even in this country. It is elsewhere. So there are many frustrated men and women in missions who would love to see change, but they can't at the moment. And I would say some have pulled out. And there is probably virtually no new church representation. Perhaps Pat would be one of the few within that level. I think we need to pray for them. Because it isn't in the hearts of many to say, no, we won't touch it. It's that we can't touch it. Or else we're out, or we cause splits or divisions. Now, I don't know really what the answer is. I mean, I'm not now pushing work, I'm just stating a fact, we don't have a board.
No.
So we are not tied to anybody. Our full-time group, we can make any decision we want among ourselves. And that's a tremendous freedom. If the Spirit speaks to us, we can say yes, or we can be disobedient and say no. But we're not beholden to any power group or board or donating group or denominational group or whatever. And I'm not sure, but I would think probably I'm one of the few who's made any attempt to relate to what God is doing.
That's right.
Without having to say I dot every I and cross every T, I've been accepted. I appreciate that tremendously. I've been accepted warmly and openly. Nobody said to me, do you speak in tongues? Do you do this? Do you belong to a house church? Have you signed? I've just been accepted as a brother.
Forgot.
That's tremendous. Because I've roomed with John. But what I'm saying, I don't think the others have had that freedom to do it. Now, a suggestion might be, I don't know whether you've done it already,
But in view of what Roger said this morning, a suggestion might be an overture from your side. I'll be honest, I don't think it's going to achieve anything. But I believe it would be worthwhile that an overture should be made from at least some of you to a group like the Evangelical Missionary Alliance to say, look, God is stirring, a mission is developing. Now, they will have criticized you over several years, and I might have been one, in saying they're so taken up with themselves they're not looking out. Well, tell them God is helping you to look out, and you're beginning to get real opportunities, burdens, openings, and so on. But you don't want to duplicate for the sake of duplication. Is there any way in which you can work through them? Now, actually, that will put them on the spot. Now, if they then, having an open day perhaps with you or something, say no, they will know they've said no. And I think that will give the freedom for you to look for structures, and there may be one or two who will say, yes, we want to work together. There'll be some who say, sorry, bang, the door is shut. But I think until that day comes, I think they're afraid. They don't even have the liberty to come, as perhaps we could, and talk with you.
Yeah.
I think it would be a loving and gracious thing if you felt you could do it to make that move.
Well,
go, hopefully, that it will produce fruit, and that it will at least clear some of the misunderstanding. I just share that because I do believe we need to pray for those who haven't got the freedom to move and are locked up by a tradition that many would love to get rid of. See, there are directors of missions, I know this, that are not even on their board. And to call somebody a director of a mission, they're absolutely powerless. They just do what the board decides. And it's very, well...
Well, yes, sorry.
Can I go in slightly another direction?
Can I come back to you on that? Because I think as far as the EMA is concerned, Pat sort of sits on the links side of things, and we are talking about moving towards that kind of area at some point anyway, aren't we?
Yeah. But I'm not on the
management. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We will definitely bear that in mind.
I think you might have a fairly positive response if you take it up now.
Right.
If you go and talk.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the other thing, if I can just make a comment which might help folk to see the way in which we can, or we see, that we can work with situations. In every area, there's the potential to either demonstrate or infiltrate. And people have accused us, for instance, of only wanting to demonstrate in terms of church, that we're not interested in the thing being renewed from within or anything like that. Whereas what we would say is that we believe that potentially there are two ways that God can move, either by providing a visual aid and demonstrating what you're talking about, or by getting alongside other people who you can influence. And that can apply, say, in education, where we thrust teachers into a Christian school, or we can build our own Christian school and show people what we're talking about. And both of those are valid. What we have to find out is what God is doing. And if we apply that to mission, then we can say we can demonstrate by if God has called us to do our own thing, which is valid, or we can look for ways to infiltrate. And that's another possibility. There may be those that are actually called to lay down certain of their own personal ambitions and hopes in order to infiltrate and take a long-term view to get something done. So I think both of those kinds of things are valid, and we would want to explore ways of doing either according to the way God is directing us at any time.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked on two overseas mission projects coming from the basic social new churches and wanting to be there, wanting me to represent and to be part of and to contribute. So it is sort of breaking a little, and I don't think I'm breaking any comments. It's Roger... apparently has really begun to speak out in the EMA meetings, because there was a parting coming between EA and EMA and said, we've got to put it together, this is not profitable. So there are obviously ramifications going on all the time about those things. We really do need to be praying for wisdom as to how we can handle it.
I haven't forgotten you, Colin, or you, David. Yeah.
I just wanted to back up what Neil said and say that we are in, today, a very sensitive situation in which a lot of us are trying to burst out And we really need your sympathy and your prayer and your support and your backing. And, you know, I think what Ed has said is a very tragic situation, which is a tremendous battle right through the World Mission today. And, you know, if you could just remember it in your prayers, but if, and speak out. You know, you may make some people mad, but please speak out the way you feel, because it's the only way we're going to learn to move forward in the right way.
That's good. Colin?
Obviously, I came here partly, although I'm in sympathy, partly as an observer. I've listened to what people have had to say, and some of it for the first time. I'm getting the impression that we're not really as far apart as people think.
Well,
between mission and church. And a lot of it is to do with definition. I come from a generation that saw God move in tremendous ways before even charismatic era came into Christian theology. And one talks about signs and wonders, where in the third world, it wasn't accepted as something of now. It's been an ongoing thing, and people have seen some God do tremendous things.
Yeah.
Now, I think how I see the future, WEC as a mission is not in the job of empire building. C.T. actually said that Christ, etc. is meaning that we put a little bit in here and a little bit in there, and if we help the kingdom of God expand, amen. So I would say either if the Goethe alone that Roger was saying this morning is one of the ways that God is leading, I would say WEC would be saying, we would prepare to help you and just contribute our experience and everything else that we have to that ongoing and making it viable. And that we would be content in that. We wouldn't be wanting to say, well, right, you have to join us in order for us to.
Right.
But if it would be a degree of cooperation, then I would say let's pursue that avenue and let's explore how we can mutually benefit from it.
Yeah. That's what we've got to do. I think we're at the stage now which I find that if I hear a message and I agree with it, I tend to feel that I've actually done it. And I think what has happened is we met a year ago and we said certain things and we've agreed. But now we've actually, from here, we've got to go away and start doing things, because the agreement is almost the hindrance to us getting on and finding ways of actually working together. Because we said, yes, we agree, and we continually meet people and say, cool, it's just great, isn't it, to have met Neil and met Colin, and we keep talking about how wonderful it is that there's sympathy, but we haven't actually really got together to do things very much. So I think that's the next sort of stage, and I feel that the door is wide open for that to happen. We've just got to make it happen. Plus the fact that this is, as Norma says, going to filter down to grassroots level, and it's going to be a groundswell. At the moment, it's getting through to leadership. David.
I just wanted to, you more or less said what I wanted to say there, John. But picking up from what Mike Blount said yesterday, dropped out the insignificance of the time span of the ministry of Christ. It was my brother. Yeah, 3.5 years. And when it dropped out again this morning, 42 months. What I see in that, and I responded to that this morning, is the whole need of urgency in what we're into. I can hear in the background it already being said, yeah, we're going to get into it, let's have a look at our diaries. And when we met at Cliff College, yes, the diary said it's going to be a year and a half before we can get together again. If it's going to be a year and a half before we get together again, if this is God's moment, half of the 3.5 years, the 42 months, will have gone. I believe
just
that we have
out.
Got...
We don't want to hear people like you.
You should have left me out.
Yeah.
But I believe that obviously what we are seeing is that this is the thing that we are involved in. It's not some extension of what we are doing, it is what we are doing. It's the very reason for our existence. And therefore it is top priority, and it needs to be stamped with that rubber stamp on whoever receives papers, whoever receives commission, that you, John Noble, have got to get something together Yeah. It does need that priority and that urgency to tackle.
Okay. Mm. We receive that. Perhaps we should move on into prayer. Just let me further by another humorous situation that I saw last night. Afterwards, I came down to just finish off a little bit of writing that I was doing, and there were two people left in the room. There was Norman sitting on this chair, and David sitting on the chair that he's sitting on now. And I was just writing away in the background, not listening. And I heard Norman say to David, "Well, I'm giving you Ghana." I thought, great, he's been out there for 19 years and Norman has decided to give him Ghana. I thought, this is tremendous. So, I thought, God's got a sense of humour, isn't he? Good. Is anybody bursting? Yes, David.
Yeah, I'd like to just share. I come from a very small mission work, not a house church background. And I'd like to echo what Colin has said, you know, this point of wonders. We were seeing things happen well before we knew the word charismatic, in a sense. But I've valued this time, in these 2 days, because I think it dispelled a lot of suspicion. Now, I've heard a lot of nasty things about one or two of you. I haven't believed them all, but I've heard them. And I'm sure the other's gone the other way around. And as Colin has said, I don't think the gap is anywhere near as big. And while no one talked to each other, we've got this polarisation. And I'd like to endorse this thought of a sort of regular kind of leaders, whatever you call it, meeting, because I think it will help to dispel suspicion. It will set up a permanent machinery, if that's not the right word, for actually having a forum where things can be brought, instead of just talking on either side and never crossing the barrier, there will be a permanent machinery. I think it will bring in a width of thought as well, far wide, and give food for thought in both directions. But one thing I would say is just a day long enough for doing that in a way, because the one value of this conference is that we've been more than a day together, we've met together. It takes some hours to often relax down together and just get into that atmosphere. Yeah. And perhaps it needs to be the couple of day kind of touch in order to do it. But I think one thing it's done is breaking down this polarisation. We're only at the beginning of it.
Yeah. I think if we come back to the point that I was making about a sense of joining, that we are meeting people, some of the people that will be in that group, and we won't be strangers. I think that when you come together for the first time, it's really good to have 2 or 3 days. But if we're meeting fairly regularly, I would hope that there will be cross flows in what we're doing, you know, and so we'll be meeting in other circles. I find this very exciting because it is happening at different levels, and I think we're all deeply concerned about mission. But at this, for instance, at the charismatic leaders, which I don't like these words, but the national charismatic leaders thing, for the first time this year, men are actually saying, how can we band together to let the church know that there are a group of people that want to see evangelism taken, and I'm not disparaging here, just from the preaching side that Billy brings into the worship and the signs and wonders side, which if those two things were together, you know, just think what would have happened in the last 5 years. Now, the 5 years have gone, we can't do anything about that, but we can do something about the future, and those men are saying. So there is another body of men that want to meet together regularly. There is also the link with evangelicals too, that there's a growing number of evangelical people who would not call themselves charismatics that want to cross the divide in relationships. And that is very thrilling. So there are a number of areas now where folks who are seeing this as a priority, and my trouble is I get envisioned for it all, so I find myself involved in all these days. Now, if they're all 2 days, the year doesn't go quickly. And the problem is you have to pay to come. You don't get a ministry gift. It's a very expensive business. But I know the Lord, you know, can provide. Dave.
Could I just say something about the site that we're selling? What we're selling our sites on. But also spoken to me recently about teams and in response to your letter. And I suppose I remember the time during this when I was a young person, I played rugby. We were in a league up in the north of England. And we had some real good individual skills in our team. but there was a team in our league that always won. And I believe God's concerned about winning teams,
Amen.
Development teams that win. And I think that that is something that we need to be aiming for, not just to have teams and a relationship where we can bring together the special skills that we have amongst us and see them functioning alongside each other to an extent, but to really take those skills to an ultimate in terms of teamwork. I really feel God wants that for us, to lift our sights that high in the future, where we're really creating a winning team.
Amen. All good. Okay, I think we should move on to prayer now. Shall we sing? Can we sing "I Love You, Lord"? And maybe we could stand. And if you feel you can just turn around and look at people, then it may be that God will put things in your heart to say or pray. We'll sing it through a couple of times, and then we'll give opportunity for prayer.